Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning again, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. Now, I'm going to be discussing in specifics the pieces of the armor of God, and so I want to provide a context for you as to the necessity of the Word of God. So I'm going to be in his armor. That is, I'm going to be reading from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4, and Nehemiah had been given the ministry of rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And so the enemies of the people of God were not going to allow Nehemiah's ministry to go forward unassailed. The enemy fights against believers. The enemy does not want believers to do the word and the will of God. And so it takes determination and focus to live for God in order to do the will of God. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, we read these words. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates, and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even if a fox climbed upon it, he would break down their wall of stone." And then in verses 4 and 5, we have what is called an imprecatory prayer. And so Nehemiah prays for his people. And the function of imprecatory prayer is to put the matter in God's hand or hands, whatever it is. So Nehemiah says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." Unquote. Now, I want you to note the result, the powerful result of Nehemiah's prayer. Verse 6. "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart." Amen. And so the enemy brought forth the weapon of ridicule. Nehemiah prayed. Next, in this chapter, the enemy is going to bring out the weapon of fear. And the people will say, "We cannot." Fear is used to generate negativism. It is used in order to discourage the people of God. But I want you to see why the armor of God is so uh, is imperative in practice. If you are determined to live for Christ, you will need the armor of God. Remember that Jesus is our example. He is our model, as it were. Remember, before Jesus was tossed by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested under the devil, the word under is hupo. That is, Jesus arranged himself to be tested under the devil in the wilderness. He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the Spirit. And Jesus used the sword of the Spirit. He did not merely quote scripture. Jesus used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's go back to Ephesians. And Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, or put on the armor of God, so that, purpose clause, you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So, verse 11 begins with the powerful word, put on and do not take off. Put on the armor of God. Verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Please do not underestimate the language in these verses, particularly in verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Now, so Paul, as Paul goes on, he tells the believer how they are to and what they are to do to stand in this evil day. In verse 13, he writes, therefore put on, and there's that verb again, put on the armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able, that is powerful, yet you may be powerful to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand, that is to remain. And so verse 14 begins, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Now, this is the belt of truth or reality. The belt of truth holds everything in place. And the model here that Paul uses is that of the armor of the Roman soldier. The armor of the Roman soldier is the model. So the belt of truth, that is the belt, holds everything in place. This belt was 6 to 8 inches wide. And so this was the most important piece of equipment because everything else was brought together or held together, or fastened to the belt. And so if the belt is not in place properly, everything else would not be secure. So the belt is vital, the belt of truth or reality. And next we have the breastplate. And so this was a piece of bronze with tough pieces of hide, of animal's hide. And so this piece of equipment protects the heart of the soldier. Our hearts are protected from attack by the very righteousness of Christ. And so it is important that we understand this. We're and not our own righteousness. And so please reference 2 Corinthians 5:21. The boots are for keeping one's balance. We can stand. The boots are for keeping one's balance during combat. Because losing one's balance could be disastrous. The boots had spikes in the bottom in order to assure proper balance. Satan uses worry, anxiety, and tension to keep us off balance. We must meet worry with the promises of God. Next, we have the shield of faith. The shield was 2 feet wide by 4 feet long. Jesus will protect us from the onslaught of Satan. By faith, we will stand in the evil day. The shield of faith, very, very important and vital piece of equipment for the believer to understand in one's spirit. The helmet. Now, the helmet protects the head, obviously. And it protects the thought life of the believer. Satan likes to give perverted views of God to believers or have them think that God is not for them. And so he will try to bring lies into the mind of the believer. And so by faith, you must choose to believe the word of God over what Satan attempts to do to your thinking. So, verse 16, so the fiery, Paul speaks of the fiery arrows of the wicked one. And so this word means, and so a refined understanding of this word means inflame, it needs to inflame with anger, grief, or lust. So the word of God protects us, and so that we can do the will of God. So believers must choose the word of God, must choose to walk by faith and not by sight. The believer must choose the armor of God. And the Bible tells us that we are to, once again, put on this armor or put on the armor of God without the idea or the thought of taking off the armor, because we cannot stand in these days without the armor of God. Now, remember, in Ephesians 1, Paul talks about the resurrection power of Christ, Ephesians 1:19, and then Paul also talks about our position in Christ. And so we have God's resurrection power available to us, and we have our new position. Paul talks about our position in Christ. And so as believers, we have the duty to live out that new relationship that we have in Jesus. So now in practice, back to the book of Nehemiah. So in verse Nehemiah 4:10, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. And so you see, the enemy wants believers. So the enemy brings up fear. So we, believers say, we cannot, we cannot. Verse 14. No, verse 11. Also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them, and we will kill them and put an end to the work. Listen, this is verse 11 of Nehemiah 4. If God has called you to a work, now notice, they plan a terrorist attack, or a terrorist attack against the people of God. Notice what Nehemiah did. Verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, I said to them, don't be afraid. Beloved, don't be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us?